preferably well up in the 65. There's only two horses there that match my, that really match my profile. See who they are? Test and Cool. There's only two there to match my profile. Gold is an absolute dead throwout. He's totally outside of the profile, unhidden. Yes.
Would you repeat those figures again from 66 to?
They go from the mid 64s up to about 66 is where my preferably in the 66. Now every track's going to have a different profile. I mean, I profile long acres because I have found these are the predictive factors for long acres. Yes.
Why didn't you run Jetaway Dave in there?
If it had been my race, I'd have run Jetaway Dave. In fact, he was more part of my Dutch when I played the race. Hey, I Dutched two horses, and Jetaway Dave was one of my horses. Okay? This is not my setup. I'm talking about the race. Yeah. We're going to come back to Jetaway Dave. Now, my other factor that I profile is factor X. And all five of the horses are within my factor X profile. But I know with an absolute certainty that about 80% of my winners at Long Acres come out of the top two factor X's of that race when I put them in the machine. Only two horses, isn't there? There's only three horses. There's the three top factor X's are Test, Cool, and Gold, and Gold's got a deficient hidden. My engine, now this is track profile, guys. My engine is taking me right down to two horses. Any question? Now you guys, I don't know how well your tracks will profile or how tightly, but I know how tightly Long Acres profiles. And it takes some time and effort to do this, to profile your track. Now I profile my track, I'll talk about profile for a moment. By experience and years, I know which are my key factors at Long Acres. Now I profile my track the easy way. And Howard might say no and slap my wrist for saying this. I do not profile my track off of the result charts. Every race that I have ran, that I have the winner in my readouts, I just go take the pace line I use for that horse that won the race. And I take my factor X and I take my hidden from that. I've already punched it out when I did the race, and I just put that in my profile in my database, and anytime I want to pull it, I just pull it. Pardon? No, I had long. Yeah, if you really want to get a tight profile, you do beat lengths. All I profile is hidden and factor X, the number. Period. That's all I profile for Long Acres. You might want to do a lot more for yours, but that is just really tight at my track. But it's taken me years to get there. I mean, it's my experience that tells me those are the two key factors. Okay. Now we go into Jenny's readouts. And you see an engine or a Cajun readout on the raw. You go to the next page and you see a Thurimation. Thurimation shows Test and Cool as being the two horses, doesn't it? Okay, let's back. What did we say at the start? How many back-to-back wins did we see? What did Cool do last time? Yeah, I'd probably maybe touch him a little bit because he sets up with the bias of the race for be sustained, but I wouldn't like him very well because he won last time. Let's go back over to our race page. There's a couple tandems in the race. Northwest Test and Cool Trip are tandem. And Jetaway Dave Sanford and Sons and Pat DePilly are tandem. Well, Jenny left in there both Sanford and Papatelli, who are both on the early side, and here's old Jetaway Dave on the sustained side out of that tandem. I would put Jetaway Dave back in myself. Everybody see where I'm coming from with that? Ray sets up for being sustained. Yes. Hey, I had did this race myself, but I can't. Would I do what on the tandem? Would I change? I can't hear the question, Doc. I got artillery ears.
I think the question I asked was, I was just looking at the baseline, I know you may not know how Jenny did it, looking at Northwest Test and Full Truck coming out of the tandem, and I don't understand the tandem real well, but would you have just run Northwest line the way it is, or do you flip for the tandem?
No, I would have probably taken a line like Jenny did. I would have, that line is one she shows the horse running well, shows the horse gaining.
I think
I'd have taken that, or I might have even gone back and taken his line that we underlined for the win. I might have gone to that one.
I'm not arguing.
Yeah.
I think the question in my mind in this particular case is, if I were to use Northwest Test last line and Cool's last line, would I give Northwest Test a win at the end because it's a tandem race with Cool?
Well, if you notice, the computer picked them both. Now, Jenny, I'm going to tell you something. What Jenny did to this race, which takes really in a way, kind of takes care of that. She has found by her experience. Now, she machined this race, and she has found by her experience that when you mix a 5.5 and a 6, that the 5.5 has got a little bit of problem. And so she goes to the manual adjust when she has a 5.5 in her mix. These races are manual adjusted on Jenny's. That's a nuance of our track. Whether that's true at your track or not, I don't know. And see what I mean? That kind of takes care of that. You're running behind on the tandem. Hey, but Cool Trip won last time. How many wins do you see for these other guys, for these back-to-backs? So in my opinion, you put Jetaway back in, and you end up with probably three horses. You end up with Jetaway, Test, and Cool. Everybody see where all this came from?
Patatelli won last time, too.
That's right. I go up with Patatelli. He's part of the early, too. Now, if you look at the results chart, you will notice there are more horses there than what you see on the page, what you see in the past performance. And the reason being, I assume that some of them had absolutely no bearing on the race and sort of make it get it within two pages, they just got trimmed out. Yes?
Thinking about the exact data, we agreed that Northwest Test is the same wrestler, so it's Jetaway Dave. What happens if Bullganger, two similar type horses runs one through, but they're really yours, they're really
exactly? A lot of times, but this race set up with an awful lot of cheap early. Awful lot of cheap early for these horses.
They just run sustained right
straight through the right. No, generally the horse, the pressers are the... are the winners at Long Acres. They can, but this race had so much early and so much cheap early that it just quit, you know. Jacaro's the only one of the kind of early guys that held on, and it looks like he ran from way off the pace. He probably broke slow or something where he got where he is.
How do you play your exactus?
How do I play my exactus? I play my exactus from out of my paragons in the and from out of the deceleration part. Okay, now I play energy, and I guess I'll talk about that a little bit while I'm up here. Pardon? Okay, Howard says about done. In the deceleration side of energy, the EDC, sustained deceleration part, that third fraction, double zero or close to double zero horses, they're just in there first and second all the damn time. And that's where I pick most of my horses that I put in with my win contenders for exactus. Okay, Doc?
Thank you. Bruce. Bruce called me not too long ago and found that the key to the mint for exactus were the 3 0 horses in energy, which would be the 3 closest to 100 horses in thoronation. And it was very nice that he caught on to that. I've been telling him for 5 years. Yes, sir. They're only the designated place horse when they're not one or two in the final screen.
Who are you going to use the second horse in your exact the thoroughmation designated place horse or your acceleration part?
You bet the one that comes in second. I mean, I'd love. This is something we'll talk about when everybody can hear the question. See, if they can't hear it, I was in the back listening, and when they don't hear the question, and we can't discuss the issue, but this brings to my mind what I want you all to remember that we talked about yesterday. If you had one or two questions, if you've got a satisfactory answer to those questions, it might turn you around or clear up any confusion you have. What would that question be? Now, you got till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning to write out that question or questions for the crossfire session tomorrow, in which I will be the moderator, and Bradshaw from one so-called poll and Brohammer from the other poll will answer these questions from both sides of the coin, so to speak, which is not as different as so many people think. But be sure you write them out, because we will not take questions from the floor for the very reason that all of you have just experienced tonight and today, last night and today. You can't hear the question. But we will take these questions and turn them into specific, succinct questions, which will be announced from the loudspeaker. You can pick it up on your tape recorders. Joe Ray will pick it up on his, and then the answers will be coming forth from your specific questions. So frame those questions in your mind between now and 10 o'clock tomorrow. Yes, sir.
I wish we'd stay with just picking the winners. I'm from the old school.
Well, we're not going to just, you're only one person. What's wrong with, I don't give a damn what school you're from, the old school. We only pick winners in the old school.
We don't have anything else to pick.
Well, listen. A lot of people think that they don't like to see $9 and $12 place horses go by them.
Why not? Just
I don't know why not. Like, maybe they're just crazy. But they're not from the old school. I don't know why that old school you went to was called, but I've been to a few old schools, but hey, they pay off in 3 positions. They pay off in exactus. Over here, they pay off Quinellas in exactus. They have all sorts of things. You're like the guy who says, when I go to the stock exchange, I only bet the Dow Jones 30 industrials. Okay, that's your choice. But let's remember that despite your $79,000 pick six, that we do have a few people in here, some ladies who are magnificent at picking place and show horses. And they spend that money just as well as we can spend our macho win money.
No, Doc, what I'm saying is, if I see a horse is 28-1, I don't want to think about the fact that maybe a 4-5 shot comes in second. Maybe I want to put some extra points on it.
It's a free country, even in Florida, where you're from.
But now I'm So now I
got
to do a new race. First, I
got to
find the winner.
I'm going to make you a teaching member, give you a microphone of your own, so you can everybody can hear you. You're an interesting guy. The trouble is, nobody can hear a word you're saying, except me. And I'm talking back to you, and they think I'm mad at you. I'm not mad at you. We're grinning at each other. We like each other. All right. Now we've taken care of that. But you be sure now. Ask these questions tomorrow on a piece of paper, and I'll enunciate for them, and I'll say, "Good question, Joe." Marion Jones is now with us, and Billy Robinson is with us. So while Marion Jones is composing himself, I'll ask Bill Robinson to come up. Bill Robinson is young and likes a challenge, but he also hangs out with some of the biggies, the big name people, and he hangs out with, he's young, vibrant, and he meets a lot of people at track. He's loquacious and friendly. And he hears a lot of people tell him, "Hey, you couldn't have won that race." You know, he wins the race. The guy says, "You can't win that race. This is not really racing. This is a tough track. Nobody can beat this track." Well, here's a guy who has beaten every track that he's ever played, from Kansas City to New Orleans to Del Mar to Baltimore, wherever he's gone with us, on a day's notice, without any history of the track, he has always managed to come away a winner. And he gets a little discouraged when people tell him, "Hey, you can't win at this track." So here's another man to expose the myth of the impossible track, Billy Robinson.
Who is that guy? I'm going to talk a little bit about Del Mar. Del Mar's, for those in Southern California already know, it's and where the surf meets the turf, a 45-50 day meet that we have where the we leave L.A. and go to Del Mar, and we have a different racetrack, and it's a nice change, and there's a lot of comments on it, good and bad. You can't beat Del Mar, you can't win, or I don't like Del Mar. And I'm going to mention a couple of comments that I had. My schedule, since I moved to L.A. 3 years ago, I've always wanted to go down to Del Mar and be there. I have still never been at Del Mar racetrack. But I live about 100 yards from Santa Anita, so I played the Del Mar simulcast this year. And my other business was so bad, I could be there with the economy. I could be there every day. So I made a serious commitment to play Del Mar heavily. The first thing I did, and this is something that you should do, and when you're going to play another track, there's a couple of things you have to realize. First, is it reasonable to just say, maybe I should take a look and see what's winning? If it's opening day, maybe, you know, a lot of people have a bad habit of saying it's a new track, it's a new meet, I'm going to take a new bank, okay, and I'm going to go get them, okay? So without knowing anything about the racetrack, this year, this meet, whatever it is, you go and you start on your full bank and make a couple of days of wagers, and now before you even have any idea of what's really happening at the racetrack, you're 50% of bank or something silly like that. How many have done that? New bank, new racetrack, let's go. That's when to go do it, right? When you know nothing about what's going on. That makes a lot of sense. Let's take a look at what happened. You can take a look at what's happened last year, but it doesn't mean that much. I talked with James Quinn before the Del Mar meet. He moved out of my neighborhood, but I gave him a call to see how he was doing, and he told me he had a great Santa Anita, and he hadn't played much for Hollywood, and he was busy, so he was just going to concentrate on the turf races at Del Mar because they are always very, very sustained. And that's always been very, very true. Well, it took a few races at Del Mar this year on the turf to see that they mowed the lawn or something. Things changed, all right? You have to look at these things. You have to look at the charts. And I decided to make a commitment to keep a little database. And it turned out to be a monster effort. I did manage to get it done all through Del Mar, and it was a lot of work, and I learned quite a bit about handicapping things besides the numbers, which most of us in here know very well, and it was very good for me. But the point that I want to make is that you have to know your racetrack. And when it's a new racetrack, you have to ask two questions. What is winning and why? And number two, what do I think is winning? You know, you bop out of Santa Anita or Hollywood Park, a track that's running early, and run down to a track that's running sustained. Even if you go out of the town, you go to a seminar, you have to realize that your subconscious has already recognized the patterns. You defeat them many times, but your subconscious is already used. If you're using energy or thermation or whatever, it's used to seeing that 1-1 early translating to dollars. You have this fixed thing in your mind that you have to get rid of it. You have to say, what is winning at the racetrack? And the way to do that is to look at charts. Now, if it's opening day and you have no charts, that might be a clue that maybe we won't go crazy with our wagers today. Okay? At least give it a race or two. But if you'll take a look at the charts, and the best models have been made. I mean, you can read Tom's book. When we went to the Woodlands, this has been covered a bunch of times, but I guess Dick Schmidt and Tom got there early because they were at the Pimlico seminar, and they had 2 or 3 days to look at one racing form until the races started on Wednesday, and they created pars and profiles and models, and I got in a day early because I thought the racing was starting a day early, and we had beat this thing to death. Well, we went out, and Tom swept the card, and even us rookies had like 8 out of 9, and we had put a little bit of time into the racetrack and saw what was winning. You have to do that. You have some tremendous tools. I don't care if it's thermation, phase 1, phase 3, whatever it is. If you'll take the charts and run them through the programs you have and take a look at what's winning, if nothing else, at least take the sprints and write down what position the horse is at second call and what his median energy is. This is valuable information. When you can find something that the public is not aware of, like the turf races at Del Mar are going early, you have an advantage. Now, let's say you have a couple of months of charts or even a couple of weeks of charts and you're going to go to a racetrack. What charts are you going to pay particular attention to? Most recent's a good one. How about the highest odds? I want to see the charts where the payoffs are higher. Is it just because of a fluke long shot, or is there a reason? Is there a pattern? Over a whole meet, Del Mar is a great meet because it's a month and a half long. You can really get into it and then get out because you do get burnout. But I concentrated on charts of the horses that paid over $15 to try to recognize patterns. Is there some distance that's different this year? Is there some distance that's different in running style? Are horses stretching out from sprint to route and winning? You heard right from the Long Acres. He said that at his track, bottom level horses don't repeat. Do you know how valuable that is? The other day there was a horse that went off at 6-5 in the opening race at Hollywood, which is always one of the cheaper races for the day. But it was a horse trying to repeat at a very low level. What are you going to get? 6-5. All right, I love that race, okay, because I'm going to try to beat with a high odds horse, and you have to review your charts and get some handle on that.